Seeking African solutions to African issues. Vinisa Radio.
Our topic today is career portfolio, in other terms, CV. Well, Elizabeth is going to break it down for us what a CV should entail. And yeah, because just to let our listeners know, what is a career portfolio, Lisa?
Kamu, you now mentioned or mixed the two things about the career portfolio and the CV.
I did.
let me help you and also students to understand that your CV is part of your career portfolio. So your career portfolio is much more than just your CV. From your career portfolio, if you have a well-developed portfolio, you'll actually be able to extract information for your CV.
Okay, I didn't know that. Look, please don't shoot me for this. Well, for a career portfolio to work to advantage, what should it entail? What should it entail, actually?
Look, a career portfolio is basically you're telling the story of your career. So you could include things like examples from work that you've done. You are busy volunteering at UNISA Radio. Mm-hmm. So part of your portfolio could be, for example, scripts that you had to write to present news.
Oh, okay.
You could put in your portfolio even audio recordings of presentations or shows that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that somebody wrote a letter to thank you for something that you did within the work context. So that could also go in your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So these, let's call it multimedia kind of things that you could include in your portfolio.
Yeah.
And especially if you then decide to put your portfolio online,
mm-hmm.
you actually open up quite a lot of opportunities for yourself to be able to present yourself to people who might be interested in paying you for your services.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be a space for you to reflect on your career, but it's also a space for you to kind of brag about your achievements.
It's almost like, look, I do this, you know, so it's almost like you're selling yourself to
yes,
the market.
Definitely.
Because I understand that you should actually put your portfolio in order, you know, in sequence, so, right?
There's different kinds of ways that you can do it. For example, if you want to tell your story in terms of this is where I started and this is where I am now,
yes.
It would be kind of like a chronological order, date order.
Or do you think that would be advisable to do it that way?
That's one way. Another mm-hmm. way is that you could think about, let's say, for example, you're interested in opportunities in broadcasting,
yes.
and you want to go and work in print publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that you can start with is to identify what are the things that people in this industry want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would structure your portfolio according to the skills that you have developed.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say they're looking for somebody with strong computer skills, somebody yes. with creative abilities, and somebody with communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
So those could then be the three kind of sections of your portfolio.
So what you're saying to me is that you should tailor your career portfolio to the kind of job you're applying at that time.
Yes, or maybe not for a specific job,
mm-hmm.
but you have information about, you know, what is needed within your industry or within your career field,
mm-hmm.
and then you would tailor your portfolio according to that.
Well, to minimize your career portfolio to be to have clusters, like how should you organize it? How should you structure it? Because I could imagine, because I'm as young and I'm a student, I don't want to put everything in it. But then what do you suggest people should put in their career portfolio?
Look, there's two ways. The one thing is that your career portfolio could contain everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what we can call like a document center or resource center. So everything that you do, just pop it in your portfolio. But then as you seriously start to explore, for example, volunteer options,
mm-hmm.
or you want to apply for specific jobs, you would then extract important information relevant to the job from your portfolio. So the first thing that you need to decide is whether you're going to do it online, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are going to do it online, how will you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Would you put it in a blog, for example? Would you create your own website?
Mm-hmm.
Would you use even your LinkedIn profile to
yeah.
build your portfolio?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to use services like SlideShare, for example?
Mm-hmm.
So there's many different online platforms that you could also think about using,
mm-hmm.
and that would determine, you know, how you would structure the portfolio. offline, you could, you know, basic thing like a plastic flip file.
Yes.
I'm not sure what they call it, exhibition file or whatever. Yes. They have different names. But that's then, you know, something that you could physically take with you to interviews, for example,
yes,
to show people, you know, these are the things that I'm doing really well.
Because now, reflecting back on career and as a technology, the last time we spoke, like this question goes back to how technology or internet can actually impact on your career.
Yes.
Yes.
So doing your portfolio online or even electronically on your computer has the added advantage is that immediately it shows somebody this person knows how to use a computer, they're digitally literate.
Yes.
So even if you're not sure how to do this, you know, get one or two other people to maybe try it out with you so that you can learn how to use the online services or then how to, for example, even use PowerPoint as a way for you to put together an electronic portfolio then.
Because with a lot of students, they don't know much how to compile a career portfolio. And does the DCCD help students if they have troubles in compiling their profile, their career portfolio?
Look, we can certainly have discussions with students about, you know, the relevant technologies to use, for example. But more importantly, a counselor would be somebody that you can get feedback from about your portfolio. So given what you would then share with the counselor about, you know, these are my goals, these are the kind of opportunities I would want to present myself.
Yes.
A counselor or actually any other person who you view as kind of a mentor would be able to give you valuable feedback in terms of maybe you should try this or maybe there's another way of doing this.
Oh, so you don't help them, like, literally put it in a file. It's a go-to. You'll tell them how to do and what to do, actually.
Yes. So more kind of the, let's call it a recipe or how to do it. And then also the important part of getting feedback about your portfolio to keep it in line with your career goals.
Because, I mean, the DCCD deals with career development, right?
Yes.
So, because I might be clueless being a student and I walk into your premises and ask you, Lisa, I'm a communication student and there's a post that came through. I think, you know, I'm the perfect candidate. Can you help me? That's when you sit down and...
Yeah, so part of that discussion would be about how would you brand yourself. And this branding includes your career portfolio. It also includes your CV, how you prepare for interviews. So all of that together forms basically what you are selling to prospective employers. So those kind of conversations we also have with students.
Well, in closure, what word of encouragement can you give to our students out there, especially because it's exam season and everybody's stressing, students are having, you know, sleepless nights. What can you say to them?
Look, in terms of the exams, it is important people are stressing about it, but maybe also to think about the bigger picture is that the reason why you're doing this degree is that it can add some kind of value to an organization and to your career. So, you know, also keeping track of your development and putting all of that in your career portfolio is important. Maybe after the exams, you know, and while you're waiting to register for the second semester would be a good time to get started with putting together the portfolio or at least making decisions about, you know, doing it online or offline and then starting to think about how you would want to present yourself to prospective employers.
Oh, and I know I said enclosure, but then one thing came up right now. I understand that being a full-time student, when you apply for jobs after your qualification, they might need experience. So I'm thinking that things like volunteering can actually add on to your career portfolio just to give you a little more weight.
Yes, but the important thing is, you know, even your studies at UNISA, you are able from your study experiences to add to your portfolio. What I mean by that is you are busy writing assignments. There are essays that you need to write. You need to be able to, you know, plan your study time. So all of those things and the skills that you're learning from being a student actually contributes to your portfolio and would show a possible employer that this person knows, for example, how to manage themselves, how to manage their time. and then volunteer work, contract work. So any kind of work experience or experiences, even, you know, let's say you're involved with a church or with a soccer team, mm-hmm. or a sports team.
Yes.
Don't want to include other sports. You know, you could reflect on that and you could get feedback from people who you work with in those contexts.
Yes.
And include that in your career portfolio. So it's much more than just, you know, jobs that you are getting paid for.
Yes.
Also think about any other activities that you're involved in now that could add to your employability.
Well, yeah, thank you, Lisa, for acknowledging our students on career portfolios. And at the beginning of the show, I mixed the two. I said a CV and a career portfolio are one of the same things, and I was wrong. So, and Aliza was really kind to make us acknowledged about the two differences. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay.